Our passages today, and I do say passages, so you can put your finger in two different places. One is in Psalm 73, verse 26. The other is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Psalm 73, verse 26, and 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. As you find those, let me remind you where we are. We're continuing our series of sermons about a phrase that we have found throughout Scripture. On the left-hand side of this phrase, we have seen man's perspective. Filled with sin, filled with consequences, filled with frustration, all on the left-hand side of the phrase. And then the phrase happens, and then on the right-hand side, we find God's perspective, God's work, God's activity. We find life and hope, purpose, meaning. The phrase that's in the middle comes in a variety of forms, but the simplest is just, but God. That's the phrase, but God. Sometimes it's but the Lord, sometimes it's but the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's but Jesus, Christ. But throughout Scripture, we find that phrase, man's perspective, man's consequences, but God and God's activity. So as I read Psalm 73, verse 26, tune in to man's perspective, the phrase, and then God's activity and His work. And then when we read 1 Corinthians, we'll see how that's fleshed out. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail. That's man's perspective. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Then 1 Corinthians will show how that can play out in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Perhaps you have seen the scene that I have seen in Target when you're shopping for whatever it is that you get at Target, and you have your shopping cart, and if you're like me, you have an entourage of children that come with you. And so me and my entourage are going to get, I don't know, whatever it is that we need that day, and you see up ahead a mom and her child, a young child, who's not in the cart with them, but who is walking beside. And the young child stops and is looking at all of the choices that are there and is going for something and picking it up and shaking it some and looking at it and wondering if they can have it. And the mom continues on and turns a corner, and then the child finishes shaking whatever it is and looks up and does not see their parent. And so immediately what they do is run and turn the opposite direction, and then they really don't see their parent. And they get really concerned, and you hear about it throughout Target. You hear their concern, you hear their fear, because they don't want to be alone. They're afraid. I'm here to tell you that that fear of being alone and of being by yourself is not just a childhood fear. It's something that we as adults, as students, also face. We don't face it in Target when we feel like our parental guardian has left. We face it when we're facing some of the hardest temptations and trials of our lives. This verse in chapter 10, verse 12, verse 13 says, no temptation. The Greek there, it can be a temptation to sin, or it can actually be a trial, a difficulty, a hard season in your life. That word can be interpreted either way. And in our lives, we can come to those moments of our greatest temptations and look around and feel like we're alone. And that can be really hard. We can come to the moments of our greatest trials, of our greatest losses, of our greatest disappointments, and look around and feel like we're alone. That's not just something that happens to us now. It's happened throughout Scripture. We have examples of it. We have Elijah, the prophet, in 1 Kings chapter 19. He's just stood up for the Lord and done amazing things on behalf of his kingdom, but the king in the land has come against Elijah and is persecuting or trying to kill Elijah. Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10, says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." Do you hear the sense of alone? Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." Except what is common to man. Our first application question, if you're taking notes, this is what you should write down. Because we believe that God's Word isn't just something that we read at 11 o'clock on Sunday and then go out and live like it hasn't impacted us at all. We have to take God's Word and apply it to our lives. So these questions help us in that. And I would hope that as you are reading and studying God's Word throughout the week, that as you read a passage, you're asking your own application questions for your own heart and life so that you can be doers of the Word and not merely hearers only. But the first application question is this: what temptation or trial have you felt alone in? What temptation or trial have you felt alone in? See, this verse tells us, reminds us, that we're not alone. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. What is common to man means that there's other people who have faced and are facing the exact same thing as you. You don't think anyone's faced your temptation? You don't think anyone's faced your disappointment, your heartbreak, your failure? No temptation, no trial has seized you except what is common to man. That means that there are many people who have also experienced it, who have also gone through this same challenge. You are not alone. That is a tool of our enemy who likes to tell us that we're alone, but we're not. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, talks about how we should use Scripture to remind ourselves that we're not alone. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." You see, when we look at Scriptures, we find our stories replicated over the lives of so many that have lived before us. We find our heartbreaks, our disappointments, our temptations that are listed there. We also find it in the stories of each other's lives. In 2 Corinthians, the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, we see, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." That means that there's people who are around us who have gone through the same struggle, the same temptation, the same trial as you, have come out on the other side and can offer encouragement to you where you are right now. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. Psalm 73, you remember, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Let's see how God is faithful. "He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Have you ever gotten on an elevator and noticed that there's a weight limit? You have, me too. Have you ever gotten on the elevator and at first you start out and it's just you and maybe one family member, and you notice the weight limit and you're like, no problem, we got this. And then all of a sudden, a gaggle, a large crowd of people comes and swarms the elevator, and whereas you were at the front of it, now you're at the very back of it, kind of squeezed up against the rail. And you read the weight limit, and it says 750 pounds. And you look at the weight limit, it says 750 pounds, and you start doing some math. And you know how much you weigh, and you think you know how much your son weighs, but I'll tell you, I'm a really bad judge about how much kids weigh. I can't tell. I'm completely baffled. And so if there's a whole bunch of little kids that are on the elevator with me, I'm out. I just hope that we're going to be able to make it. Or, you know, you come on and it's just squeezed in so tight, and then the doors shut and nothing happens. I've been in an elevator before where a door shut and then it starts making a beeping noise. And I'm looking around at the other people and I'm like, man, I think you should get off. I mean, if I'm just doing the math, I think it's you. I think you should be able to get off right now. This is your stop. This is it. But it doesn't, the beeping sound happens, but the door's shut. And I'm looking around too saying, how am I going to get out of here? And I can't move. And then the elevator starts to go really, really, really slowly. And you begin to wonder, I wonder how much margin there is in that 750 pounds. Because I'm pretty sure we're over it. And the elevator creaks some and maybe even jostles some, and you're looking at the neighbor hoping that you're going to get to the other side of the door. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You know what God is for you? He's the elevator doorman. And he knows the weight limit of your heart and what you are able to bear. He knows it better than you. And as you're bearing the temptation or the trial or whatever it is, and it's weighing the elevator down, God himself is at the front of it saying, nope. That's too much. He cannot handle that. Nope, 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 nope. That's too much. She cannot handle that. Sorry, no admittance. You can't get on this elevator. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So in order for God to be the elevator doorman to your heart, that also means that he has to be with you all the time. He will not leave you ever. If you go back and read in Scripture, you find that at the pivotal moments when God is having conversations with people who we would say are the heroes of our faith, and our heroes are making excuses, Exodus chapter 3, the story of Moses. But Moses said to God, who am I, verse 11, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring out the Israelites out of Egypt? Listen to what God says. And God said, I will be with you. That's enough. I will be with you. Joshua is about to lead Israel into the promised land. Moses has just died. The full weight of the nation he feels on his shoulder. And what does God say to him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Lest you think this is just an Old Testament phenomenon. Let's go on over to Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus is ascending into heaven and he's speaking to his disciples, some of the last words that he gives to them. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart may fail. That's the left-hand side. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He is with me in the midst of whatever storm, in the midst of whatever temptation, in the midst of whatever trial. He is with me throughout, and He is not allowing it to be more than what I can bear or what you can bear. Our second application question is this: how can you remind yourself God is with you and is regulating your temptation or trial? I'll say it again so you can write it down. How can you remind yourself that God is with you and is regulating your temptation or trial? One last time. How can you remind yourself that God is with you and is regulating your temptation or trial? See, the thing that we have a tendency to do is to go about our lives and forget the last time that God provided for us. We just forget. We forget that God has been faithful in our life up to this point. And we think that this trial, that this heartache, that this pain, that this injury, that this insult, that this temptation, this is going to be the time when God's going to fail. All those other times, we just forget them. And we have a tendency to say, this is so bad. There's no way the God of eternity, who has been faithful from the beginning, could possibly be faithful now. But He is. And He has been in our own hearts and lives in the past. So when we come to those moments of difficulty, we have to remind ourselves that God is with us. We have to remind ourselves that God has not left us, that He's still in the midst of it, and that He is regulating your temptation or trial. The passage keeps going. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. When you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I've been in mazes before. You know, like the big ones where there's corn really tall and you walk in and you can't see anything around you. Now, I've gotten utterly lost in one of those before. Completely lost. But I'll tell you, it's a whole other level of awareness of lostness when you have your four-year-old with you. And so if you're walking, hypothetically, with your four-year-old at a maze where everything is really tall, and hypothetically, if you know that the sun is going down, and that hypothetically, when the sun goes down, the corn maze, which is so happy, turns into a scary corn maze that's haunted, there's a new sense of urgency to find your way out. And you begin looking and finding which way there might be. And then you even look and say, you know what? I recognize that tower because you can see it. It's way high up. If I just walk straight through this corn, I'm going to get out. One way or another, we're getting out of here. Have you ever been in a trial or a temptation that feels like there's no way out? That you've tried everything you know, and you just feel like you keep running into dead ends. You keep trying and you keep running into dead ends. And you wonder, is it ever possible that I'm going to get out of this thing, this pain, this temptation? How am I going to be able to move forward? In the midst of those times, it is helpful for us to remember that when we are tempted, God also always provides a way out so that you can stand up under it. If you go down to the next verse, chapter 10, verse 14, you find this word, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee," that means run away, "from idolatry." Sometimes the thing to do when you're tempted is literally to run away. Turn around and get out. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about fleeing from potential sexual temptation. Chapter 6, verse 18, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually against his own body, sins against his own body." So if there's temptation sexually, then Scripture says, flee, run away. We have an example of that in the Old Testament in Joseph, who was tempted, remember, by Potiphar's wife, who says, "Come to bed with me." He leaves his cloak and runs away. There's a way out. Sometimes it's not an easy way out, but there's a way out. In Acts chapter 19, we have people who are experiencing God in their midst. Acts chapter 19, verse 19, a number who had practiced sorcery, we'll go to verse 18. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. Verse 19, a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. That means sometimes the way to get out is to completely destroy whatever the thing is that's tempting you. Galatians talks to us about the opportunities we have to help each other. Chapter 6, verse 1, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ." Accountability. Allowing yourself to be known by others. What the struggles are that you face, so that they can come alongside you and bear the burden with you. That's not easy. But it's a way out. It's a way that God can provide and use in the midst of your life so that you can be faithful to Him. Remember, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Application questions for this. There's two. What are some of the ways out God has provided for you in the past? What are some of the ways out God has provided for you in the past? Remember, we said that we have a tendency to forget what He's done in the past. And if we can recall in our minds the ways and the circumstances and the people and the methods that God has used to provide a way out in the past, then it helps us in the midst of the present to know how to move forward. This is the example also of Scripture, which we've already read in Romans 15, where it says you should use Scripture as a tool to evaluate how God has moved in the past and what He has used in the lives of others who have followed Him so that they could be free. And then you can also use that same thing in your life. We've read already in 2 Corinthians how the examples of others can be used in your life as well to provide a way out for you. So when we begin asking ourselves, how has God provided a way out for us in the past? It's not just something that stays in the past. It's something that God uses in the present to help us have a better future. What are some of the ways out God has provided in the past? Then the last question, what is the way out God is providing for you now? What is the way out God is providing for you now? Maybe right now you're not in the midst of a temptation or trial or frustration, and if that's you, praise God. But maybe you are facing something. God is faithful. He has not left you. Though your heart and flesh may fail, but God is the strength of your heart and your portion forever. That psalm, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That portion word means it's like you're serving your plate and you have enough to be full. He's your portion. That means he's giving you enough of yourself, giving enough of himself to continue to live for him. He's my portion. He's enough. So in the midst of our circumstances, right now, we know that God is with us, that he's managing how much we face, and he's providing a way out. And by doing those things, though our heart and flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Is that a testimony that you can attest to? I hope so. We're coming to our time of response. Here's how this will work. We'll sing a song together. And if you're a Christian and a member of this congregation already, those application questions are ones that you should begin asking through your own heart and talking to God about them. There's others in the room who are Christians and members are Christians and looking for a church home. And you want to know who we are because this is a time when you could join us. You would literally walk forward and say, I want to be a part of this church family. You need to know who we are. We do our best to love God, to love each other, and to bring God's love to the world. And if that's who you are, then during this time you could come forward and join us. And then there's a last group of people who, when I read the verse about my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever, you cannot claim that for your testimony because you haven't experienced God's work in your life. Maybe you could attest full well to the first part, my flesh and my heart may fail, and you would say, well, that's true. Absolutely. My flesh and my heart have failed, and I've done lots of things that are wrong. Those things are called sin in Scripture. But the last part of the verse, you haven't trusted God to be your strength. You haven't trusted him to be enough for you. The way we do that is by believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus, making him the master of your life. And when you do that, that's called becoming a Christian. When you do that, God's strength is enough to overcome your sin. God's strength is enough to provide a hope and a future. God's strength is enough in the midst of whatever circumstance you are in to provide a way forward and to be your portion forever. So maybe today, during this time, you would come forward and say, I need to become a Christian. It's our time now to respond to God's continued movement in our midst. Please stand with me as we sing.